Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me on this, I'm sure, busy Saturday. And if you can believe it, tomorrow is Christmas Eve, everyone. It is here. It is almost Christmas. It is unbelievable how fast it has come upon us. And I thought it would be perfect to have a show about tired parents. Like, I know it's been a lot and everyone's been getting ready and the hustle and the bustle. And hopefully this has been a holy and blessed Advent for you. But there's also a lot to do. So with that being said, I actually am going to interview Debbie Cowden on her amazing book for tired parents. It's phenomenal. But before we get into that with her, we are going to have just a quick minute actually with Debbie about this last fourth Advent Sunday. God bless you.
The fourth and final candle on the Advent wreath represents love. And although it's a very, very short fourth week of Advent this year, let's make the most of it. Debbie Cowden here, and when my husband Dave and I wrote the prayer book for tired parents, it was so important for us to encourage fellow parents to follow in the footsteps of EWTN foundress Mother Angelica, who loved Jesus so much. In fact, she once told her audience, "If you wonder what you can give Jesus for Christmas, I would think confession would be a wonderful gift. Communion would be a wonderful gift. To get up on Christmas morning and instead of running down the steps, say, 'Happy birthday, Jesus.' Let him be first in your mind on Christmas morning. Wouldn't that be nice?" This Christmas, let's reflect on God's love for us, that he sent his only son to save us. And so a prayer you can pray often is, "Lord, I love you. Help me love you more and more." And teach your kids to pray it often too. For more practical ways to grow in love of God and get your family to heaven, get the Prayer Book for Tired Parents at EWTNRC.com. Back to you, Crystalina.
Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have my dear friend, Debbie Cowden. Debbie, thank you for being here on Women Made New. I've been looking forward to this, huh?
Me too.
I am excited. So I have you on, and this is something that's been in the making for a while now, and it is your new book that you did with your husband, and it is the Prayer Book for Tired Parents. Now, who doesn't relate to that title alone? Because that is me in a nutshell right there, a tired parent, and most parents out there right now. So tell us about this new book that you did with your husband.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you for having me on the show. I'm so excited. And I'm really looking forward to being able to talk to you about what it means to be a tired parent and how even though we are tired parents, we still have this ultimate call to holiness for ourselves and our spouses and our children, too. And as Dave and I have been parents for the last 6.5 years, we've realized that there are a lot of struggles and a lot of issues with our spiritual life that were centered around being a parent. And when we were having conversations with our Catholic friends who also were parents, we realized that they were having the same issues too. And so this book is really the fruit of that exploration and that problem solving that we did to figure out, okay, we're tired and we're still called to be holy. How do we make the two work together? And what we found was that by looking more into the lives of the saints, digging into our church's 2,000-year tradition, that there is a lot of wisdom in the Catholic Church and a lot of really powerful insight on what it means to use our vocation as parents to become holy. And so this book is meant to be the go-to guide for the parents who want to be holy, want to raise their children to be saints, but either don't know where to begin or don't feel like they have the extra energy to go looking. And it's a big book. It's over 350 pages. There's so much that we crammed into the book because we knew that this might be the make it or break it for parents. It's got encouragement from the Cowdens in there. It's got a beautiful foreword by Father John Paul Mary from the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word.
We love him here at Women Made New.
We absolutely do. And we love him at the Cowden House too. It's got wisdom from the saints packed into every single chapter. It's got the wisdom of Mother Angelica in every chapter. Oh, it's got these beautiful traditional prayers, like the Litany of Humility, the Litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Litany of the Most Precious Blood of Jesus. It's got a section where you can create your own family litany of saints with instructions on how to do that. And then really the big part of the book that I am the most excited about is the prayers and the reflections on the saints. And so Dave and I wanted to, we wanted to put together some saint reflections that were tailored to parenting. And so we have prayers to the Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, the archangels, and then all of these saints who have specific causes or specific ways that parents can pray for the intercession of these saints for particular causes. So we have St. Monica in a prayer that the Cowdens wrote for the conversion of family members, St. Elizabeth of Portugal in a prayer for the healing of family rifts, St. Therese of Lisieux and a parent and a prayer of a parent during a child's tantrum. And that's honestly one of my favorite prayers. Yeah. And we go into, because what parent has not watch their child have a complete meltdown and say, like, what hope is there for this child? Saint Zaley and Louis felt the same way about Therese at first. This child is just having a meltdown and she's 3 years old. She's throwing an absolute fit, acting like the whole world is ending.
Because can you imagine? Whatever. I mean, let me just stop right there. Can you imagine Saint Therese of Lisieux? I mean, come on, having a meltdown tantrum. I can't even imagine it, but I know what happened. But it's hard to wrap my brain around it. And I look at my children, and I have a 2-year-old, so I'm like living that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just, you can't imagine. But oh, they're little saints in the making, aren't they? Though
they really are. They really are. And it's in those moments, like we try to capture as much as we can the reality of being a parent, and we don't try to sugarcoat anything. But with Saint Therese, we have this prayer: Saint Therese, you know well the ups and downs of family life. You know that families are not perfect, and we sometimes resort to yelling and fighting. You know that the family is the school of love in which we learn charity, forgiveness, and self-control. Help me in the midst of this trial. Show me how to love God through my child. Help me to be patient, gentle, and compassionate. And may this tantrum bring my child and me one step closer to heaven. And then we have a short little passing prayer. It's basically like a Spark Notes version of
give
all
me
of
that.
These prayers.
I need that one.
All right. So the passing prayer is, Saint Therese, show me how to love God through my child.
Wow.
Help me to be patient, gentle, and compassionate. Because what we came to realize as being parents is that it's these everyday moments. It's the ordinary life that makes us saints. Most of us are not going to be martyrs. Most of us are not going to be doctors of the church. Most of us are not going to be great theologians. But we all have this call to holiness in our everyday life. It's the little things, like the faithfulness to God in our morning prayer and giving every little bit of our day to God. Faithfulness in our duties as mothers and fathers. Faithfulness in discipling our children. And in these moments, these temper tantrums, these just complete meltdowns that our kids are having, that sometimes we are having, this is our opportunity to disciple our children. We are being sanctified through this, and our children are as well. So we want to offer encouragement to parents that you are going to go through hard things as parents, but it's okay, because God is sanctifying you through this, and you can grow closer to God, and you can answer your call to holiness through your everyday life.
See, and I love good. That. That's where it is. It's just like parents, families are messy. Right? Our lives can be messy, and not even like messes. We're talking like emotional mess, family drama, you know, bad things going on with different family members. Life is messy and complicated sometimes. And that we look at these saints, or we look at these Instagram picture perfect families out there. And I'm sorry, it is a smokescreen Instagram. And it's not the reality. And I remember going through that time in my life where I was too prideful to ask for help. And I was in my fourth pregnancy, and it was a nightmare. And I couldn't keep up with the laundry. I couldn't keep up with the kids. I couldn't keep up with and I felt like a complete failure. And I was miserable, and I'm sure my kids weren't happy because I was miserable, but I just felt like I was just this broken, useless person who couldn't do anything right. And it was so hard for me. And there was such, I don't know, desperation and desolation. And, but the thing is, I closed myself off and I didn't let a lot of people know what I was feeling. And that's the thing, is we have to be honest of where we're at in our lives. We have to be humble enough to ask for help in those moments. And I learned real fast that I needed help. I needed that person to come in and maybe help me with laundry, or to really talk to my husband about the things I was going through or feeling, or, you know, it's a lot sometimes, but it's okay if you're messy, if you're in a mess, if you feel like a mess, because I'm going to be honest, that's kind of normal. Everybody goes through that, especially if you're pregnant and incredibly emotional, right, Debbie?
Exactly. I'm not going to deny that I have... that I have never been emotional now. During pregnancy. And that's the beautiful thing, is that, like, God doesn't call us to be miserable in our vocation.
Yes, thank you. Please.
He
please
doesn't
emphasize that.
He doesn't want us to hate our lives or to hate mm-hmm. our vocations. And He made our vocations good. That's why He made marriage a sacrament, because it is good. And it's the means by which we can enjoy eternal paradise with Him in heaven. And we as humans are the ones who mess it up, but we don't get it right. But this is why we want parents to understand that their vocation is good and that there is a path to holiness. And with the Cowdens, with our own lives, we realized that things were not going well at first because we didn't make God the priority. We were trying to make ourselves and our own ambitions the priority. So before we even start to get into any of the prayers, like these really, really, really awesome saint prayers that we put a lot of heart into and we know that parents are going to love, we have to talk about building a foundation of prayer. And we have to understand why we're even bothering to do this parenting thing at all. And that's because we were made to know God, to love God, and to serve Him in this life so that we can be together with Him in the next. But we need to learn how to do that. And so we have to build a foundation of prayer. We have to learn how to put God first and to love Him and serve Him in all of the things that we do. And so what Dave and I had pretty quickly realized in parenting is that we were not putting God first. And we were not giving Him the attention and the worship that He is due as God. And so once we started making these changes, we had our house blessed and we had Jesus enthroned, the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus enthroned in our home. We did a consecration to the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. We started surrounding ourselves with holy reminders and sacramentals in our home. We established dedicated family prayer time. We started going to daily Mass. And that was the most pivotal thing, honestly. And we can get to that in a second. But once we started putting God first, we noticed that our life was changing. And it wasn't that all of the problems melted away, because the problems are still there. There are a lot of problems that are still there. But the difference is that we have a sense of purpose and we have a sense of direction. And so for the tired parent who's listening right now thinking, I don't know how I can do this. You can, but you need God's help. And you need His grace in order to be able to do that. And you have to welcome Him into your life. And this book lays the groundwork for how you can make that happen.
Oh, I absolutely love it. And again, we are talking with Debbie Cowden on her new book, The Prayer Book for Tired Parents. And it is a practical way to grow in love of God and get your family to heaven. And some of that can actually be intimidating when we say that, because maybe that's the furthest thing you feel from, right? And just trying to get your whole family to heaven and you feel like a mess yourself. But at the same time, everybody needs help. And you can't do this without God. You can't do this on your own. You absolutely can't. I'm telling you right now, but you can do anything with God and God's grace and His help. And you can have a holy family, right? And they're not going to be perfect overnight, and they're not going to be saints overnight, and either are you, but we are just trying to head in that direction in every way possible. And especially, Debbie, with the onslaught of the attacks on family right now, I think it is so important right now that parents are intentional with what they do in their household. And they need to look at where the disorder is, which can be really uncomfortable. And parents don't like to do that. And people in general don't like to do that. But at the end of the day, that's where it's at. Like, where is there an infection? Where is there disorder? And how can you bring God's order to it, to right order everybody's lives in the household, right?
Exactly. And this is an area that Dave is very passionate about because we both grew up playing sports and doing all of these extracurricular activities. In the beginning of the book, I talk about how I was, you know, I literally did it all in high school and in college to the detriment of my health and wellness, honestly. But when we're talking about how we're going to get our kids to heaven, we've also had conversations about what kind of extracurriculars we might be interested in introducing to our kids. But then it becomes a conversation of, well, how much time is this taking and how much time are they losing with their family and how much time are they being exposed to potentially negative outside influences? And so something Dave's really passionate about talking about is, how much time are we spending together as a family? Because what we realized as we were growing up was that our families were going in all different directions. And as soon as the kids are out of the house and away from their parents for extended periods of time, that's when they start opening themselves up to those influences that may not be godly. They might be leading us in the other direction. And then they're losing that time that they can be praying together as a family and having their parents disciple them. So one of the things that we talk about is we're not going to tell you how much time you should spend in the home or how much time your kids should spend in extracurricular activities. That's going to be a little bit different for every family. But the most important thing is that the family is the domestic church. And this is where your children learn about the faith. They're probably not going to hear about it from the world. And so we as parents need to guard and protect our children while their little minds are so malleable. And we need to make sure that they're filling them with good things at home so that they are prepared to go out into the world eventually.
So I have a question, Debbie, about the parents out there that are saying, well, my kid is a teenager and he needs to be able to start being exposed to the world in different situations. And what do you have to say to that? Like, how much do you protect your kids from the world? How much would you say that you kind of like slowly inch them into the world? Like, there's really this kind of like, where's the balance? And I get that from a lot of parents, and I would love your take on that.
Yeah. Well, I like to think that I was a teenager not too long ago, although it was a couple decades ago. It was a little while ago. But what was really helpful for me as a teenager was being able to see things through the Catholic lens and understanding that our God is a good God and that there is nothing that is of the world that is bad, that is of God. And so if your children are formed in the faith and if your children have a firm understanding of right and wrong and the proper order of things, then they're better able to make those decisions. But I mean, are we talking like 13-year-olds, 17, 18-year-olds? Because there's a big difference then. And I think there are some people who are of the mindset that, oh, kids are going to learn about the evils in the world eventually, so you may as well expose them to it sooner. I disagree completely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that we as parents should protect our children in the cloister of the home for as long as possible, and that we need to surround them with prayer. We need to make sure that they are receiving the sacraments frequently, especially the sacrament of confession, right. that they are spending time with our Lord and spending time in stillness and in adoration, having that constant attention toward God. Because then they are going to be better able to make decisions when they're out in the real world. And when they get to the point where you're not going to be able to make the decisions for them. That's I'm not going right. to keep my kids in the house forever. I promise I'm not going to keep them under lock and key when they're like 26 years old or no dating until after you're married. That's I'm not right. of that mindset at all. But this is the time. And I would say that it's not ever too late. Because even now, our oldest is 6 years old. And in the past, I would say 2 months, we have been making a really deliberate effort to get to daily mass. Mm. And praise God with my schedule and with Dave's, we're able to do that. And praise God that we have so many Catholic parishes in our area, even if it means that we're going to Spanish mass. Crystalina, we are going to Spanish mass like three nights a week because that's what time we can get there.
I love Spanish
mass, Latin mass, mass in English, wherever we can go to mass. But...
No excuses in the Cowden household.
It's so important. It's the most important way that we can spend our day is in prayer with God. And our six-year-old, bless her heart, she asked me at one point why we were going to mass every day. And I explained to her that this was the best way for us to spend our time, and that we are trying to love God more than anything else, because that's the most important thing. And she looked at me with her sweet little face and she said, then why weren't we already going to Mass every day? Oh, well, I just got chills.
Leave it to your children to point it all out. You know, good, bad, and the downright ugly in reality.
Exactly.
Of life, right.
And it became a really great opportunity for me to discuss with her the fact that her dad and I didn't know that we could go to Mass every day, and that we thought that we couldn't go because we thought that we were too busy. And she just looked at me like, too busy for God? Isn't that what you're trying to tell me? Like,
wow.
I couldn't believe that the way that the conversation worked out, because I was able to be real with her and say, I did not love God as much as I should, but I'm really trying hard now. And because I understand how important it is now, I want us to go every day, and I want you to want to go every day. And so it's cool how it's happening. That's why if you have children who are teenagers already, and you have not been going to daily Mass, or you've not been going to confession frequently, or you've not been spending time in prayer together or praying the rosary every day as a family, this is a really great opportunity to start right now. And you can have the conversation with your kids about how it wasn't important to you before because you didn't understand what was at stake. So for the parents of teenagers out there, if you're not praying the rosary as a family, you can start today. It will be imperfect and clunky, but do it.
Thank you. It's going to be maybe even a nightmare. Let's be honest.
Yes.
Clunky. And they're going to just maybe be angry or upset or not understand and roll their eyes and like, Hail Mary, full grace, you know, like kind of just like mock it even a little bit. And that's okay. That is absolutely fine. If when you start doing this and you're trying to change things in your household, you have to understand when we pray, we are entering into the spiritual battle, right? That's what, like, we're praying to God, but it's also entering into that spiritual battle. And there is going to be a battle over your family, because if you're set in your ways and God isn't a part of that, and you try to push the light of God into some darkness, maybe in the home, there's going to be some sort of like struggle there a little bit, but that's okay. Because in the end, the devil cannot stand the light of God and will have to flee. And it's got to be consistent, and you've got to keep doing it and keep on and keep on, no matter what happens, no matter how tired, no matter how hard sometimes. It can be at night, even for here in the Everett household, it can be an absolute Everett circus while we're praying the rosary, but we get through it. And at the end of the day, I think, wow, the Blessed Mother is probably looking down and just shaking her head, but at least we're there, right, at her feet, doing what we can in the moment, trying to honor her by doing the rosary. But it's okay if it's a mess sometimes. At least you're trying, and God sees that. And there's grace in that. There's beauty in that. There's serving God in that. And He meets you exactly where you are as a family. And there's ebbs and flows in all families, in every individual's life. And sometimes it's wonderful and amazing and good, and you feel close to God. And there are times where you don't. And those times are okay, because just know no matter where you're at in your lives that God is still by your side, even if you feel like He's not. Right, Debbie?
Exactly. I agree completely. And I know that as we were starting out, we did feel discouraged because we were really trying to pray the rosary every day as a family. And there were some times where it just wasn't working. Like you said, kids are melting down. We're melting down. We were not devoting the time to it. We were waiting until the end of the day when everybody is tired and melting down anyways. We were making a lot of excuses, even for things like, oh, well, I can't wear the scapular because I don't want the babies pulling on it while they're nursing. Or, you know, I can't get to any of the Saturday afternoon confession times because they're only for like 30 minutes at this parish. And I don't want to call the priest because I don't want him to know what my sins are. But we would not have a problem calling to make doctor's appointments when our kids were sick. We would do that. You know, going all the way across town to make it to this certain Mass time. Oh, that's just going to be too much trouble. But then we would drive across town to get the groceries that we needed. There were all of these excuses that we were making, and we realized that we didn't love God as much as we should.
I love
and
that.
The once we came to that, that realization, and it breaks your heart to say it out loud, like, God, I don't love you enough. But if you have that willing spirit, the prayer that we teach our 6-year-old is, Jesus, I love you. Help me love you more.
Yes.
that prayer is a powerful prayer.
So powerful and simple and ABCs, but there is power in that prayer, let me tell you.
There is. And we have all sorts of these very short prayers in the book. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you, save souls. Mama Mary, be a mother to me now. Mama Mary, show me how to be patient. Just these very short prayers so that you can make it a prayer out of every breath that you breathe. But I do want to say too that if you're making the decision, okay, now I am going to answer my call to holiness and I'm really going to try and make the deliberate effort to raise my children to be holy and to raise them to be saints, I highly recommend starting with enthroning Jesus Christ as King of your home. Mm. And we went through the Welcome His Heart, Sacred Heart Enthronement, and that's welcomehisheart.com. And they'll send you all of the preparation materials that you need to enthrone Jesus Christ as King of your home. And that is the first step that you can take in saying, Jesus, you are the King. We entrust our family to your love and care. And we want everybody who comes into our home to know that we are living for you and we are serving you and we want to love you most.
So really it's a lifestyle. It's not just like a one-off prayer. We're talking like you're embracing a lifestyle.
Exactly. And it's a hard lifestyle. It is countercultural. You either have to do it cold turkey or you have to be really diligent about starting to make these small changes. But what we realized was that with these changes that we are making in our home, like trying to make it to daily mass, at first it was just once or twice a week, mm-hmm. Adoration as we could. But then we realized that God had put the desire on our hearts to go more. Mm-hmm. And you should see the way that Dave has just changed. We're not watching TV shows anymore that are not godly. Our children are not watching TV shows anymore that are not godly. We are spending more time with people who also want to raise their children to know, love, and serve God and get them to heaven. We are reading more. Like, I never thought that I could actually do spiritual reading. Crystalina, I've got three kids under the age of six. I work full time. Dave works full time. We've got all this other stuff going around. We're in the middle of a full home renovation. And I thought that I didn't have time for spiritual reading. But again, that's one of those things where I was just making excuses. And once I realized that I could and that it was a matter of me making the choice to open the book, suddenly I wanted to read more. Suddenly I'm pulling out all of these books that I had from my time working at EWTN and I'm literally wiping the dust off of them.
Wow.
So that I can read them. I'm seeking out books on EWTN Religious Catalog and getting Kindle books because God has placed the desire in my heart because I've asked him to.
Wow.
See, and so there's some ask. Big things happening.
That's the thing. It's an ask. People think, oh, well, I'm not a saint. God doesn't love me. But the thing is, how much are you engaging? How intentional are you in your relationship with Jesus? And some people may not relate to anything we're saying. And they're thinking, I am so far from this and I could never live a life like that. There's just no way. But I think you'd be surprised because that used to be me. That absolutely used to be me. I used to live mm-hmm. in the world, be in the world, and my life was full of worldly ways. And it's just really, it's an intentional thing of actually putting Jesus first in your life. And when you do that, everything changes. Everything changes slowly. It's baby steps, but your life can absolutely change. And honestly, it's for the better. And so we're going to get more into that when we come back from our break over at EWTN, but we are here with Debbie Cowden and we will be right back to talk about her new book. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining us. We are here with Debbie Cowden, and we are discussing her new book with EWTN Publishing, The Prayer Book for Tired Parents. It's a practical way to grow in love of God and get your family to heaven. And isn't that what we want for all of our children, is just to get them to heaven? And I almost imagine, Debbie, and I tell my kids, it's almost getting to like that safe, when you're playing tag and you're safe, you know, that safe spot where no one can touch you, no one can get you, and the fight is over, right? It's like capture the flag. You have the flag and you're good, you're done, you've conquered it. And we all want to get our kids to heaven, but wow, it is very difficult and hard. But God's grace is there if we want it. And we were talking about enthroning your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Can you tell us, what does that actually look like? Is it a 30-day novena? Is it a prayer book? Is it a one-stop prayer of consecration? What does it actually look like?
Sure. Well, so we use the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network's enthronement program, and you can go to welcomehisheart.com in order to get the information on it. There is a preparation period, so you're learning about what it means to have Jesus enthroned as King of your home. And there are prayers that you pray together as a family where you are definitively saying that we welcome Jesus as King of our home, and he reigns as King. And really, I think that is the best first step that you can take when your family is working on revamping and reorienting your spiritual life, having your home blessed, and then also having Jesus Christ enthroned as King, because the family is the domestic church, and it's a place where our children are going to learn the most about our faith. It's in our home that children are going to see what God's love looks like. And it's also a place where they see the faith in action at all times. And so you have people who say, like, oh, I was raised Catholic, but maybe they didn't have good examples in their home. It starts in the home. And so the process of going through the enthronement is very straightforward. You can do it with a priest, or the head of the home can lead in the enthronement. And when you pair it with having your home blessed, you are like wiping out all of the gunk from your home. Mm. It is like a spiritual spring cleaning for your house. Wow. And then, you know, and your kids know that you are making this change together, and that you are working together to grow in holiness. And what's nice about the Sacred Heart enthronement is that it's part of a bigger devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And Jesus has 12 promises for those who have a devotion to his Sacred Heart. And tell me if this is not perfect for parents, or so would be so appealing to parents. He says, I will give them all the graces necessary in their state of life. I will establish peace in their homes. I will comfort them in their afflictions. I will be their secure refuge during life and above all in death. I will bestow abundant blessings upon all of their undertakings. Sinners will find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. Lukewarm souls shall become fervent. Fervent souls shall quickly mount to high perfection. I will bless every place in which an image of my heart is exposed and honored. I will give to priests the gift of touching the most hardened of hearts. Those who shall promote this devotion shall have their names written in my heart. And finally, he says, I promise you the excessive mercy of my heart that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who receive Holy Communion on the first Fridays in 9 consecutive months, the grace of final perseverance. They shall not die in my disgrace, nor without receiving the sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in their last moment. Boom, sign me up.
Boom, done.
Jesus, over. I am all yours. I mean, you read those and you're like, can this be real? Yes, it absolutely is real. Jesus promises it to you.
Right.
He just wants your love in return.
Debbie, you weren't always like this, right?
No, ma'am.
You were not. So how did you get from where you were to this?
By the grace of God, and probably some people up in heaven praying for me.
Because honestly, I know there are people listening that are just like really intrigued, and they long for this in their lives. They do. They long for that peace. They long for that deep relationship with Jesus, but they just don't know how to do it or get there. And I do know what that is like, but I want to know, how did you get from point A to B of being right here where you are at?
Well, I was raised Catholic, and I went to a Catholic school, and in college, I continued going to Mass, but that was about it in college, going to Mass. And at one point, somebody had said that they had no idea that I was actually Catholic, and they were surprised to see me at Mass, and I can't believe that, looking back. But at the end of college, I started paying a bit more attention to my faith. And it started to become more important to me, particularly as it related to the television stuff that I was doing in college, because I worked for the school's TV station and I wrote for the school's newspaper. And obviously they tend to be more, we'll just say, secular. And I realized that that was not who God wanted me to be. Mm. I even had an internship at a global media network in Times Square right before my senior year of college. And there was one point where somebody had encouraged me not to wear my crucifix because it might offend people. And I remember just crying about it at home because I couldn't believe that that was actually happening to me. And then I started thinking, well, why does this bother me? It bothers me because I know better. So I was a little bit warmer than lukewarm in college. I started working for EWTN, started taking my faith a little bit more seriously. But then as soon as I had my first kid, things started coming unraveled in our everyday spiritual life because you're tired. And suddenly, like, even if you wanted to go to daily mass, it's a lot harder when you have a newborn. And it's a lot harder to pray the rosary together and to go out and do holy hours when you have screaming babies and when you're tired and when you're working full time and when Dave was in a doctoral program. And I think that for us, things just, they just kept getting a little bit cooler, a little bit cooler. And so we finally had this aha wake up moment just a few years ago where we were like, this is either the most important thing or it doesn't matter at all. And that's when we started getting back on the path. And again, it was by the grace of God that he put this on our heart to say, I am the most important. But we still didn't have the skills to be able to make it to daily mass and to regularly go to adoration and to do the spiritual reading and to truly put God first. It was something that we had to figure out the hard way and make a lot of mistakes with, and we had to start over a lot. And so that's where we came to with the book, that we've got to be able to help parents in making this easier for them so that they're not stuck in the same cycle of, I want to be a good Catholic, but I don't know how. And not just, I want to be a good Catholic, but I want to be holy. And I recognize that I either have to be, like St. Therese says, a whole saint or not a saint at all. So that's a really roundabout way of saying that I was lukewarm at first. I realized I needed to be a better Catholic, but I didn't know how. And then Dave and I, by the grace of God, figured out the tools that we needed. And now that we're going to daily mass, we're going every day. Wow. Everything is different.
It changes you. It changes your entire life. And I want to go back to where it all started, because that's the pivotal point, right? Of, you had it on your heart, like God put it on your heart. And he speaks to us, just like when you were crying about your crucifix and not being able to wear it, of thinking, why is this bothering me? And there was something in your heart that he was speaking to you. And he speaks to all of us. And he puts those small whispers in our heart. And we know right from wrong. We know what we should or should not be doing. But the thing is, sometimes we don't want to listen. We want our own way and we think we know better. And in the end, every time I didn't listen, I regretted it. And every time I listen, regardless of the sacrifice, I've never regretted it. And I think that's really where it starts with any parent, is just, what is God saying to you in your heart? And what is it he's asking you to do? Because if you just listen and we are obedient when he's asking us to do something and not blowing him off or telling God later, because a lot of the times, at least back in the day, I used to be like, okay, later. Yeah, sure, I'll do that. Sounds like a good idea. Later, right? It's that later. And that later is dangerous, because sometimes the later never comes and the window of opportunity is gone. And Debbie, if you didn't say that yes, and it wasn't those small stepping stones of just saying yes to those promptings of the Holy Spirit, you would not be sitting here talking with me about this new amazing book to help parents all over the world in their mess. You know, our yes to God is huge, because he's trying to direct us and guide us to where he wants us to go and to fully enter into who he's called us to be. And if we don't listen and we blow off and don't think our obedience to God the Father is important, we cause our own problems. Wouldn't you say?
Amen. Absolutely. 100%. And that's, yes, yes. And that's where, you know, when we call ourselves tired parents, for somebody who is listening, who may not be a parent, they might not understand, but I imagine that for every parent who is listening right now, they're like, yep, tired parent goes hand in hand. It sounds like self-deprecation. But when we say that we are tired parents, it takes a lot of pressure off of us, because it took a few meltdowns of Debbie Cowden saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this, to have him put on my heart, I didn't ask you to do it all. I didn't ask you to try to do this on your own. The only way that you can do it is through me, and not Debbie, but through God. And so it's in these moments where I'm like, I'm crying and I'm melting down because I am exhausted and my babies are crying and I've got work deadlines that I've got to meet and my husband's away at work, or he's home. But like, there was one Easter Sunday where he was doing something that had to get done for the house, and it was only for like an hour. But the hour that he was outside doing whatever needed to be done, I melted down and crumbled. And I'm surely not the only parent who's had those moments, but it's in those moments where God is like, stop, listen to me.
Wow.
Find rest in me. God wants to give us his peace. He wants to show us his love. He wants to give us his grace. We have to ask for it. And sometimes it's in those moments of complete helplessness that we're finally able, like our will has been beat down enough to be able to ask for it.
Yes. Yes. Ugh. I think a lot
it's
of
it's hard though.
No, it's humbling. Let's be honest.
It is
very humbling, because sometimes you don't feel like you're doing the right thing as a parent, or you feel like you're failing, or it's just like, oh, what a nightmare, you know? But at the same time, that is okay. But if we just call Jesus in those moments, and I haven't been great in the past with that at all. And I take my own, like whatever's going on, and I end up just making more of a mess of the situation. But if you really can just learn to say, Jesus, what do you want me to do right now? Like, what do you want me to do right now? And I've said that before out of frustration. And my kids are like, who are you talking to, Mom? And I'm like, Jesus, just leave me alone right now, kids. Okay. I'm like, okay.
But, and that's why the sacrament of confession is so beautiful,
yes,
too, because we're literally face to face with Jesus and he says, I love you and I forgive you and you can try again. And then not only are we forgiven of the times that we fail, but then we're given the grace to be able to do better.
That's right.
So we really need parents to be going to confession. We had heard of a study recently that was done that said Catholics, only 2% of Catholics go to confession regularly.
Wow.
And at least 3/4 of them said that they either went less than once a year or never. And confession is a great place to start over, to be reminded of God's mercy and his love. And to, like I said, to receive the grace to do better and to be a better parent. So please go to confession.
Right. And I say that.
You said on Catholic Spirit. Yeah. You said every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Every 2 weeks to 3 weeks at the most. But it's like, you can go every month. Fine. You want to go once a month. That is great. But I'm telling you, your kids will know the difference after a while of consistently taking them to confession. And they'll notice the difference in themselves of being in confession every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks versus if they wait a really long time. And, you know, I can actually tell in my kids when it's been a while since they've been in confession. Because they confession at school sometimes for them. They're like, oh, we've gone or this or that, or, you know, things get away from you. I can just tell. It's like, and then I'm like, the attitude's coming. I'm like, when's the last time you're at confession? And they're like,
That's
you know,
amazing.
But to be in tune with your kids like that and their spirituality, because we're so in tune with their health, with their sports, with their grades, with where they're at in school, just everything going on. But as a parent, how in tune are you with where they're at spiritually? And I think we need to get a mindset of where is my child spiritually, because that's going to be the foundation of everything that you're sending him into the world with. Because if he is spiritually strong, the attacks, the temptations that are going to come up against them, especially as they get older, you've given them that foundation and those weapons. But if you're not giving them to them, they will get eaten alive. It's very simple. And it's naive to think they won't be, because they will. And to be honest with yourself, where are you at as a parent? Where are you at with your spirituality? How are you bringing Jesus to your children and within your home and living out your Catholic faith? And if it isn't in a good place, that's okay. But at least you recognize that. And Debbie's book is a perfect antidote for that. And I love those little prayers that you have in there, Debbie, because you literally can take those tiny little prayers and put them on your refrigerator. And like, that's the prayer of the week or the prayer of the month. Just say it. And it's just one, two, like little line that you can memorize, and your kids will memorize, and they'll hear you saying it, and they'll say it as well, because they'll see it and they'll hear it. And that right there, parents, is weaponizing your children. That is giving them prayers. And in times when maybe they're having difficulty, they'll say those prayers to themselves. It's little things like that that really matter and go a long way. Now, Debbie, break down your book for us.
Yes. So the first part of the book is basically the Cowdens loving on parents and letting them know it is okay to be tired. It is okay to be just completely depleted. It's okay to admit that you're giving God room to work when you admit that you're tired and when you admit that you need the Lord. But we don't want you to be stuck there. We don't want you to just say, okay, I'm tired, that's it. We want to help you build a foundation of prayer. And so this is where we spell out our 10 steps. That's the house blessing and Sacred Heart of Jesus, enthronement, consecration to the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, surrounding your home with holy reminders. And we go into the significance of each of those holy reminders. We talk about dedicated family prayer time, daily mass. We help you write a family litany of saints, and we give you the space to be able to do that. Talking about the importance of individual prayer. Like, yes, of course, pray as a family, but then also make sure you're having the individual prayer. We talk about something cool, which is spontaneous prayer and offering joys and suffering. And how, as members of the body of Christ, us offering every moment of our day benefits souls in purgatory and benefits souls here on earth who are in danger of hell. We have a prayer intention calendar that we share with you, talking about being Catholic 24/7. And we've even included an examination of conscience for parents. And so once we've laid that groundwork, again, I said there's a lot in this book, and I'm not kidding. There really is a lot in here. The next part of the book is how to take that foundation that we laid and where to go with it. And we include Mother Angelica's wisdom for tired parents, because as somebody who's worked at the network for almost a decade now, I have heard a lot from Mother Angelica, and I've realized how her spirituality is perfectly applicable to parenthood, because she talks about everyday holiness and how you are called to be a saint. So she's in there. And then we have a big section of the book that has those everyday prayers and litanies, the reflections on the saints. And then you were talking about the prayers to put around your home. We've included those in the back of the book so that you can literally cut out the page.
I love it.
With the prayer. And it's already, you know, it's got the dotted lines around it. Cut it out. Tape the litany of humility to your bathroom mirror. You know, tape the Blessed Carlo Acutis prayer for good use of the internet to your family computer. Your prayer for the healing of family rifts, put that on your fridge. We have a prayer in Thanksgiving for groceries, because how often are we thanking God for our groceries? We've got a prayer that you can put on your fridge or in your pantry. There's a prayer for just about
everything.
The St. Polycarp and the prayer when everything is going up in flames. We have one of those.
This is great. See, and you've really thought this through, which is great, because parents are all at different levels in their lives of parenting and their spirituality. And some people will take all of it. Some people will take some things, but at least it'll get you started. And this is an excellent Christmas gift for anyone that has children.
I agree.
You know, just to help them out, give them a book. You probably want to say a lot of things to them and maybe don't agree with certain things, but you know what? I think Debbie's book will do it for you, and it will help them and send them in the right direction. Or anyone that you think that just is having that hard time or just frustrated, or even yourself, give the gift of maybe changing their lives, their family lives. That's what this book would do. And I would just really encourage you to give this as a Christmas gift or stocking stuffer. I think it'd be phenomenal for a lot of parents out there struggling. And I am one of those parents. So I'm excited to
Me
have
too.
My book.
Me
it's
too.
Going to be great.
Well, and you know, even if the family is going to daily mass every day, you know, there's something that everybody can learn
yes.
from this book. If
mm-hmm.
nothing else, you're going to get a book that is full of really great prayers that were written by the Cowdens, like a reflection on from Venerable Fulton Sheen and a prayer in Thanksgiving for coffee. I bet you've never seen this prayer before,
because the only place
you can find it is in this book. St. Thomas Aquinas and a Prayer for Chastity, St. Martin de Porres and a Prayer for the Completion of Housework, St. Veronica and a Prayer While Assisting Someone Carrying a Cross.
Wow, that's beautiful.
We've got everything. We've got St. Louis and Zélie Martin and a Prayer for Housemakers and Work from Home Parents. We've got everything in here. And I do think that it would be a good gift for the Catholic parents in your life, because even if they're not telling you that they're struggling, they are struggling.
Yes.
And I don't think that there's anybody in this book who is doing any of these things perfectly, because the only way that we will have arrived at our destination, so to speak, is when we get to heaven.
Thank you. It is true. And so we always just have to keep going, keep marching on, no matter what's going on.
Yes,
walk through the fire. Just keep on, keep on. How can they find your, where can they buy your book? And how can they find you, Debbie?
You can get the book, The Prayer Book for Tired Parents, Practical Ways to Grow in Love of God and Get Your Family to Heaven, at EWTNRC.com. It's item number 82873. And if it's too hard to remember, then go to tiredcatholicparents.com. And we link you to where you can get the book at Religious Catalog, and also where you can get some extra content about, you know, healing of family rifts, some tips for getting through Advent, especially if you're feeling like things are not going so well in your Advent journey. We've got some other stuff on there too. There's also a link to our Etsy shop where you can buy rosary wrap bracelets that our family makes. We've got
all sorts of things
on there. And so there's all sorts of goodies, tiredcatholicparents.com. There's no paywall. You don't have to subscribe to anything yet. I don't know if that makes it more appealing to people, but we just want parents to be able to have access to these devotionals that are going to help them get themselves and their children to heaven. So tiredcatholicparents.com.
Excellent. It's just a matter of just starting. Just
do it.
Just start, right? That's all we got to do. And it can be hard. And also, don't forget, today is Saturday. I say this every radio show. Most Catholic churches will have confession. And the best gift you can give Jesus is your sins. So go to confession today, everybody, because you have that opportunity and to wake up tomorrow morning in his peace. Debbie, thank you for being here today. It has been such a pleasure and an honor, and I've had a lot of fun talking with you. And thank you for being here, and know that you and your family will be in our prayers.
Thank you, Kristalina.
Thank my guest again, Debbie Cowden, for being here and going through her wonderful book with me. And I wanted to actually leave you, since tomorrow is Christmas Eve and we are entering into that joyful time of the Christmas season, of a quote from Mother Angelica on Christmas. And she says, "God is real, the God who created the highest mountain, the deepest ocean, the deepest sea, the God who created all of you and me, the God who keeps everything in perfect order. That big God became so small." I love that. And as you stand before the nativity scene, everyone, if it's tomorrow, if you have one in your home, but as you approach that nativity scene this Christmas and you gaze upon Jesus in that manger, think about today. What meaningful gift will you be presenting to him? And again, don't forget, today is Saturday and there is confession everywhere. And there is nothing more important than being right with God. And what a gift to give him on his birthday. Merry Christmas in advance, everyone, and enjoy this last Advent Sunday, and God bless you.